Welcome to Ojibwe Stories, Gaga Nunanada. I'm your host, Eric Reddix. Our guest is Larry Amick Smallwood, who grew up in Ajamoog, the Lake Lena district of Mille Lacs. He has worked as a language instructor for the Minneapolis Public Schools, Neosing School, the Leech Lake Tribal College, and the University of Minnesota Duluth. Since 1999, he has served as the director of language and culture for the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe. Joining our conversation today is Brian McGinnis of Inegekane Dasoyung, the Center for Indigenous Knowledge and Language Revitalization at the University of Minnesota Duluth. Today we're starting our conversation about the importance of clans for Ojibwe people.
Clans. I know who my clan is. I know I am the Eagle Clan. There are several other people with several different clans. They have the Loon Clan, the Wolf Clan, the Bear Clan, the Sturgeon Clan, the Lynx Clan, all different clans. That started way back out on the East Coast many years ago. As far as myself being the Eagle Clan, my grandfather was the Eagle Clan, and I did ask my grandma one time, I said, how did I get to be Eagle Clan? She said, Mingo, Gao Day Day, Jigno. So she was telling me the half-breeds and the Shinabes that were born to non-native fathers, they were under the Eagle Clan. Now, I don't know how that came about, whether it was from the government using the eagle as a symbol. I don't know if that's where it started many, many years ago. And see, in Ojibwe country, we always, I know us locally here, the Southern Ojibwe, they call us, we follow our father's clan. If our father was not Ojibwe or Anishinaabe, then we would come under the Eagle Clan. You know, that's a very important thing to Anishinaabe people, that clanship. I remember back in the early 50s, my uncle came home back here to Ajumog, and he had his new wife with him, and he had his mother-in-law with him, his new mother-in-law. And at that time, she was an older lady, I suppose, in her 60s or 70s, and then my mom, who raised me, My great aunt, I should say, was around the same age. And when they came into the house, the first question that my mom asked that other lady said, "Oh, wait, ain't you do dame? Who is your clan?" And that old lady said, "Migizi and do dame." And my mom started crying, and she said that was her too, Miga ain't do dame. And they grabbed onto each other and held each other and cried together. They call each other sister. Mm-hmm. So back in the day, that was really important. Their Eagle Clan women and Eagle Clan men are like brother and sisters back in the day. That's why they're kind of asked not to get together in a relationship. And it was very important a long time ago. We would like our young people to start learning about their clans, finding out who their clans are. It's very important, your name, and find out who your clan is to prevent any intermarriage of the clans, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I see nowadays that's kind of catching on a little bit. I was at a powwow about a year ago, and I was announcing. I heard a young woman ask a young man, I think they were in their late teens, "Who's your clan?" And the young man told her who his clan was. And she said, "Oh," and they started talking there. But that was pretty good. And I said, "Oh, good, it's catching on. People are starting to recognize their clans. They're asking whoever they meet, they're asking who their clans are." So that's really important to know. Find out who your clan is. Mm-hmm. And they should not have, one of the things I was told, if anything, they should not have children together. I don't really know the reason why.
You mentioned that the Eagle Clan, I guess, almost like adopted the children because we're patrilineal and we get our clans from our father's side, that the Eagle Clan took in
the children that had a non-native
right.
dad. So did we have the Eagle Clan before that, or?
I don't believe so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe we did. I don't know when that started.
Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned that you were happy to see these young people kind of take an interest in their clan and talk to each other about their clan. What is your advice to them if they don't know their clan?
Well,
not to put you on the spot.
Well, no, a long time ago, we still do have spiritual leaders. We have dreamers, people that can dream and find out things. They also have Jisaki and Ninewog that can find out the clan. So I would recommend them go to one of those types of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, either a spiritual leader, a person that has the power to dream and find out things, or go to a Jisakianini. By Jisakianini, I mean, you know, the sacred ceremony where they have the tent shaking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Kidata jemana go a away see a benishi with migizi, eje minik eje gitche piteni mut kai win, eje kikendaman, eje kikeni mut. Apchego ishpiming wasa bemashit kai win, wasa geonje nabit kai win. Gego ina kidata jema a anyway mut migizi kidu dem.
May two guys who mean to my gua nil, chapitain dogs at a migizi, naskigi, while watching again, no migwan, a pitain dog as a wug. Naske me oh migazi mamu wasa spimming in acid no it's basu no mana doin ke other the bisco would have by yard. Naske me okay get to go mana do what is it migazi. Me when just pee 10 dollars at a migwan. He is held really in high regard because he's the one that flies the closest to the sky and very important and very spiritual and very respected to the native people. Once in a while I hear that somebody shot an eagle or somebody shot eagles to make bustles. Man, that is downright wrong to do that for those purposes. If you want an eagle, you know, go out in the woods and look for one or send for one through the U.S. government or whatever, but you don't have to go out and shoot those. Those feathers are very highly respected, and a lot of individuals, most of the people that I know, respect their feathers. I listened to my grandfather and another guy talking one time, and they were at a powwow somewhere, and they saw some young kids wearing feathers. Kids looked nice, you know, they were in their outfits. I suppose they were about 10, 12 years old, but I think they were wearing bustles, eagle bustles. My grandfather's buddy says to him, Kendana, no go, Mishigo, is a chigiwad. Mishigo gaunge go to pite de maso awa ni miguana nungum. Naske mezeo ni shinabi. Ke get to get chapite de man ni miguana. Me eat to go awa. Ganisad wea. Me eat to go awa gapada kibin weod. Miguana. Scared us nungum. Me go and do it away, so you should put a cabin over and do it away, oh yeah, you should have a jar to me go and go and get a bay or the pita and the muscle on the me go and yeah, my grandfather's buddy said, you know, look at those boys out there with those feathers on. He said, you know, that's what's happening nowadays. Everybody's wearing eagle feathers, little kids, little girls, women, everybody. He said, a long, long time ago, only those that took a life of somebody, of another human, were allowed to wear a feather. And that's not happening anymore. He said there's no respect there for those feathers. And you do, you look around today, you see a lot of kids, you know, 9, 8, 10, 12 years old, with eagle feathers. Man, I saw one kid, he had a visor of eagle feathers, 2 eagle feathers on his roach, shoulder wings were eagle feathers, and bustle. If you had one more feather, I think you would have flew away. But, you know, how did that kid earn those feathers? A long time ago, they said you had to take a life before you could wear an eagle feather. And that's not happening anymore today. This is what we believe in here. I don't know, somebody else might have a certain way of thinking about eagle feathers from another tribe or somewhere else. But this is what our local Ojibwe's here believe in.
So if one has an eagle feather, is there a good way to maintain it? Things you have to do, so you're doing things in a good way?
A lot of times they'll get a feather somewhere and the way to take care of it, you know, the person giving the feather should instruct the person receiving the feather. But a lot of times they were told to hang them up in their house somewhere, you know, nice, or else even some of them are told to hang this in the car, you know, for safety, they take care of us. And while I'm on that subject too, I remember a lot of the houses years ago, a lot of the houses that Shinabes lived in, there was always a little slat or a little board or a little pole on the northwest corner of the house with a feather hanging from it, whether it be a hog feather, a goose feather, an eagle feather, or whatever kind of feather. And they used to hang them up there for protection. They're not doing that anymore. I remember we had one in our house for many, 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 many years until we tore the house down. And those feathers wear out in the weather too, so they can change them. I remember one time down south here ways, there was a big storm went through. Of course, a lot of those houses had were traditional people, had feathers hanging up and everything, but the one house didn't. That's the one whose roof got messed up. You know, and I just kind of chuckled. I said, I wonder if that's because they didn't have a feather hanging up. That, which it probably is, you know.
So if a person finds a feather, say, you know, you threw whatever, you know, you put out some fish in the woods and those eagles came and say they left a feather, well, what should a person do?
It happened to me a few times. I mean, you know, if I found it, I picked it up. It's my feather.
Mm-hmm.
It was given to me. So, you know, one time when I was working in LCO, I was driving through there and I saw an eagle sitting on the side of the road eating a deer. So I pulled over and there were three small, probably about 5-inch eagle feathers laying there. So I picked them up and I took off and went to work. And coming back, I stopped in the meat market there. I picked up a fish and I brought it to where that eagle, where I picked those feathers up, and there he was sitting there again. So I eased out of the car and he flew up in the trees. I went and put that fish there and thanked him. And there were four more eagle feathers there, so I picked them up and kept them. A lot of times I'll give them to my namesakes. I do naming, I'll give them one of them, you know, and tell them to hang them up in their house or whatever. But once you find that feather, that's yours. You know, You were the one that it was given to. Gien gigi minigu is amigo and ispin mekawad man guja megwayak. Ganwin bakano ya gigi minigu is a sino amigo gisi apajet is a gana wayna mad amigo and ispin mekawad. Ganwin babam is even gigo au wabaskiwe da damina da magsa gaye ya. Ngo dakanwe na nog chumukwana dakanwe na nog gisat gaye na nog. And the sound of Kiwad. Migu Ninigo Gasia, Yao Gikanunag the Swinigo, and give me Kaw, Migazi. A how bees a mug. I got in the Pina seen the Abaja and Sago and me in the moon and him, and give you nog, as a boon in my wat. Me so, Migazi Abaja, me going on the Yamwag, my gay Abbey and Dion. I found an eagle one time alongside the highway and I picked it up, this was years ago, and I kept it. And I called the DNR and said, I found an eagle. And I said, oh, bring it here. I said, no, I'm not bringing it over there. It's mine. I found it. I'm just telling you guys, I found it. It got hit on the side of the road, and I'm going to keep it and use those feathers. So they haven't said anything to me yet. It's been about 10 years. So.
But they know now.
Yeah, they'll know now.
This is Ojibwe Stories, Gaganunida, a program of Ojibwe culture. Our guest today is Larry Amick Smallwood, a language instructor at the University of Minnesota Duluth. He is also the director of language and culture for the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe and is a contributing voice to the Ojibwe People's Dictionary, an online resource created by the University of Minnesota. Last July, the Honor the Earth powwow was held on the Lac-Couturier Reservation. Larry served as the powwow MC, and later in the week, we caught up with Larry to talk about his thoughts on changes in powwow culture. So you're coming off the Honor the Earth powwow, and I guess I wanted to ask you if there was anything that stuck out in your mind from that experience that maybe you'd like to share with us.
It was a great powwow. It was a huge powwow. It was a lot of fun, a lot of vendors there, a lot of good drums there. I don't have any complaints on it. I did notice a few times that when the visitors come in, or even some of the local people, when they would come in dancing, they would be carrying their child, which is a no-no in Ojibwe country. You just don't do that. It's like you're offering your child. You know, when you go to a giveaway and they sing that song and you carry your gift and you raise it up, that's the same thing you're doing with your child. You're holding him up there. So that's one of the big reasons they tell them not to do that. And I saw some of that this weekend, although the other MC and I, we made that announcement several times, people still would do that. So the arena directors have to go out there and be the bad guys and tell them, hey, that's not allowed here. You can't do that here. And of course, it offends some people. But, you know, when you go someplace, you know, I always say, make sure you check the protocol for that area on that powwow. Whatever meat contest or traditional, what the do's and don'ts are. I know a lot of places they don't allow eagle whistles. That's not an Ojibwe thing, actually, but you know, in the last 15 years or so, 20 years, some of our Ojibwes have gotten a hold of whistles, and for whatever reason, they're blowing them when they're told not to blow them. Now, I can say over in Mille Lacs, when we have our traditional powwow, the elders do not allow that. And if they do blow their whistle anyway, they're fined. And then they could be escorted off property because you're disobeying the elders of that community. And that's another one of the biggest no-nos we have. Do not disobey the elders. And unfortunately, the MC sounds like the bad guy when he announces those things. But then again, the MC is working for the powwow committee, and the powwow committee is working for the elders from that reservation. And that's the MC's job to make the announcements of the committee. And so that's a lot of times why we sound like the bad guys. But if that's the way the community works, then that's the way you got to behave.
So is there anything you'd like to share with us about that experience going in these different Ojibwe communities? And as people may or may not know, I mean, these places are a long ways away from each other. And
it's interesting to see the different ways people run their powwows. Okay, you take the Hinckley Contest powwow, for example. The elders said, we want a local MC here along with a guest MC. And the reason for that is a local MC knowing the culture and traditions of the local area. Okay, that's why he's there. That's why when I go to other powwows as a guest, you know, they usually have their local MCs, and then I'm the guest MC. So a lot of times there are specials going on or whatever that they know the families and stuff, and then I'll let them take that part over to do the specials because they know what's going on there, you know. So, yeah, it's good to be aware of the culture and the traditions of that community that you're going to go and MC for. Mm-hmm. An MC has to keep in mind that he's a guest of that community. Also, he's an employee of that community. So you do what they say, you behave yourself in a positive way. So you got to keep that in mind. And a lot of times MC, all I know in Mille Lacs and also in Hinckley, I'll help out if they have questions. If they're not sure about something, you know, they'll ask somebody. And we do have a spiritual advisor there in Hinckley that takes care of our invocations, our prayers, feathers dropped. I know in Hinckley I pick up the feathers. Lee Staples is the spiritual advisor. And over in Mille Lacs, they do their ceremony a couple of days before the powwow. They put out a feast and tobacco offering. Somebody does a pipe ceremony for the safety of all the dancers, all the singers, all the visitors that are going to come there for the weekend. They pray for safety and well-being during the course of the powwow and all the way up until the time they get home. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to do that. Plus, being MC, you get the bird's eye view of everything that's going on, you know. I just did an interview for our local paper as far as being an MC. Mm-hmm. I'm not the greatest MC around, but I do know a little something about it. There was an MC back in the 70s that I really admired. His name was Henry Greencrow. He had a loud voice, and he was very humorous, and he's also very stern. I mean, he could say hi and make it sound funny. I mean, you know, but when he said something, you know, he meant it. And I always admired him, you know, and unfortunately, he passed away, I think, in the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's been massive changes in powwow culture the last 30, 40 years. How much of that do you think is due to our local communities here being wealthier because of gaming?
Well, the prize money and your casino powwows is good. There are casino powwows and there are reservation powwows. You know, some of the reservations don't have a lot to offer because they might not have the funding. Mm-hmm. You know, other places might have. And there's a difference there. But all powwows are good. I mean, all singers are good, man. Everything's good. It's all for happiness and entertainment. So,
is there anything you miss specifically about the older days before maybe the powwow grounds weren't as nice, but there was something back then that was a little different? Or
I can't think of anything I missed. I can tell you what I don't miss. I don't miss dancing and singing as a tourist attraction in front of a store or trading post anymore. Mm-hmm. That's what I don't miss. Mm-hmm. So we have more control over our own powwows than you know we used to by far. They've grown much better.
Was there a pressure to like perform a certain expectation back then, or?
Well, it's just, there was, and how do you say, you were more exploited or, you know, and of course they threw you money, you know, and money was hard to get back in the day, back in the 50s and early 60s, you know, so you, hey, dance and get money or don't dance and wish you had money, and also it was one of the small ways we earned a few bucks.
I was thinking about your work as an MC, as you go and talk to different people and the different things. I don't know if this is probably the wrong way to say it for a powwow, but I know at home, especially, you know, my grandparents' house, there was always onjia dimmin, the things you were to be cautious of and how you, your behavior, how you acted. And I know powwows certainly have those etiquette protocols. I actually did see, I was around the powwow and I saw a couple try to bring a dog, like a little hand dog, like in a purse or something. Paris Hilton dog into the powwow grounds. And a few people talked to them, I think, about that. You know, bringing a dog into the arena and the dance circles. Like, oh, it's maybe not an approved practice.
I'm not sure the meaning of that or what mm-hmm. that is. I just know that you don't bring dogs into the circle or around the ceremonies anywhere, mm-hmm. whether it be a dance or a medallion or anything like that that goes on there. They're not mm-hmm. allowed around there. I guess that's one of the things I didn't ask, because they always told me, just never mind, don't ask. You just do what I tell you. Mm-hmm. And I heard that a lot of times in the 50s. Mm-hmm. And then I never asked why. Now that I want to ask why, so now that I'm curious, the elders that I wanted to ask are gone. So I don't know.
Well, probably because you have people asking you, why do we do this?
Well, yeah, and then, I got to tell them I don't know, you know?
And then you have to say, but yet... Okay, go do done gain.
Yes, but you can't. Never mind. Do it. Just don't do it.
Is there any kind of message you would include? I guess maybe closing today or bringing this to a good close. As you think about even a message in Anishinaabemwin, Jibewindabawin Gwayakoya, Jibewabenge, Jibetajikung, Anishinaabe Jichigewin Gaida, Shanishinaabe Nanimiwin, just about good Minuishwebiziwin Sugo.
Make yourself aware of that community's behavior, of that community's ways mm-hmm. before you go there, or as soon as you get there. Mm-hmm. Whether you go to a contest powwow, a traditional powwow, a ceremony of some kind, or whatever, just kind of be aware and be respectful of those people that you're visiting. Mm-hmm. When you go, we lost a lot of our ways and our teachings, but just to be respectful of that community you go and visit, especially the MCs, you know, be aware of the ways of that people that you're going to visit and that you're going to work for and talk for. And I want to say that about the Ojibwe language teachers too that have come down here and teach from different places. Be aware of the community that you're teaching for. We have a lot of things here that aren't being taught in the schools or the colleges. Our drum ceremonies aren't talked about very much or not witnessed very much. Our midday ceremonies, you know, there's a reason we were given our Shinabe language. That is to use for ceremonies and to communicate with each other. That's why it's very important. If somebody were to come to the Mille Lacs and the Oshing School, an Ojibwe from Manitoba, I would make sure to try to get that guy or that lady to become aware of our ways in Mille Lacs. That's our home. Mm-hmm. Be aware of the drum ceremonies, be aware of the midday ceremonies, the naming ceremonies, the funeral ceremonies. When I go into your house, I have to abide by your house rules. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't come in here and say, hey, I want to change this furniture on here. I don't like it here where I'm sitting here. Be respectful of different communities.
Minange.
Miigwech.
Miigwech.
Which? That's all the time we have for today. I want to thank our guest, Larry Amick Smallwood, for sharing his stories with us. This is Ojibwe Stories, Gaga Nunidada. I'm your host, Eric Reddix. To listen again to past episodes of Ojibwe Stories, Gaga Nunidada, visit the KUMD website at kumd.org and click on Audio Archives. Ojibwe Stories, Gaga Nunidada is produced by KUMD and the Department of American Indian Studies at UMD, with funding provided in part by a strategic initiative grant from the Chancellor's Office of UMD, by Enege Kendaso Young, the Center for Indigenous Knowledge and Language Revitalization at UMD, and by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.